Father, open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from your word. And be praised in us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to tell you a story before I get to the message itself. It's my story. I was brought up in a Christian home. My parents were godly people. But I never clued in to what it was all about. The final year of high school, getting towards the end of the year, a friend of mine said to me, Les, I'm going to Ontario. We were in Montreal. I'm going to Ontario. I'm going to be a camp counselor. Why don't you come along? It'll be a lot of fun. So he gave me the address of the camp, and I wrote to them. And they sent me an application, and they asked, how long have you been a Christian? And I figured, well, I've been going to church regularly for about 2 years, so I wrote in 2 years and sent off the application. And they said, yes, please, come and be a counselor at our camp. So Jim's parents drove the two of us up to Ontario, up near Orillia. And we settled in to be camp counselors at this camp. And we weren't there about more than a week, I don't think. And my friend Jim, and a friend of his that he had met there, got kicked out of camp for smoking. So here I am in the middle of Ontario, knowing absolutely nobody, absolutely nothing. And I'm there for the summer. And as things progressed, I started to clue in that there was something about this place that was different, that I didn't understand. And I talked to one of the leaders, and I expressed that thought. And he said, well, you know, usually we'd like our counselors to have got to this place before they come and be counselors. And I'm sitting there thinking, what place? but we didn't have time, because of the schedule, we didn't have time to have a real deep conversation. He gave me a book to read, which I didn't read. But every night we had a campfire. We'd meet in the big lodge, and we'd sing songs, and one of the leaders would bring a message. And well, this one particular night we were singing How Great Thou Art. We got to the third verse, which says, and when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And suddenly everything became clear that God loved me. And the next song we sang, the chorus was, hear, O Lord, the sound of my call. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy. My soul is longing for the glory of you. O hear, O Lord, and answer me. And that was my prayer. And God heard it, and he answered it. I had absolutely no idea what had just happened to me. And it took a couple of years before I finally figured it out. But I started to change. And people started noticing that I was changing. My parents especially. And it was very real. And I started making decisions based on what would God have me do? And for the years that have followed, God has proved himself to be unfailingly faithful. He has never let me down. Let me end the story on a happy note, or a happier note. My friend Jim, the guy that got kicked out of camp, he later also came to faith in Christ and is walking faithfully with God. That's special, and we've kept in touch. Not a lot, but... Now we come to the text of the parables that Jesus told. The first parable, the kingdom of heaven, is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found, and in his joy hid the treasure, went and sold everything he had, and bought the field. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. What's a treasure? What do you think of when you hear the word treasure? Pirate chest full of gold coins. Smaug the dragon, his gold hoard in the cave. Stuff like that. That's what we think of when we think of treasure. And this guy was walking through a field one afternoon and stumbled on what he thought was a rock. Bent down to pick it up and discovered that it was actually the knob on the top of a clay jar. And he cleared away the dirt, lifted off the lid, reached in, and found gold coins. Put the lid back on, covered it up, and he went and he sold everything he had, went to the guy who owned the field and said, "You know, Abraham, I've been thinking about taking up farming. I'd like to buy this field of yours." "Well, okay, but it's expensive." "That's okay. You name your price, I'll pay it." And he named his price, and he paid. And the field and everything in it became his. Now, he wouldn't have bought the field if Abraham had said, "Yeah, okay, just a minute, before we close the deal, I've got to go get something out of the field." That treasure had been buried long before. Maybe somebody knew an invading army was coming and hid their riches so they wouldn't lose them, and for whatever reason was never able to go back and get them. But the man bought the field. It cost him everything, but what he gained was the treasure. And it was worth it. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and went and sold all that he had and bought the field. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure like a guy sitting in a lodge in a camp, singing a song, suddenly understanding what a marvelous love God has for him, and that it's worth giving up his life to have that treasure. That's the treasure hidden in the field. I'm the man in the parable. But that's what Jesus requires. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus said to the crowd that was following him, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation, is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Jesus said, everything to follow me. Again in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Peter and James and Andrew and John, fishing, Jesus says, "Follow me." And they leave their boats and they leave their nets and they leave their father to handle the catch. And they followed him. That's what he requires. Matthew chapter 19 tells a different story. Rich young man says, comes to Jesus and he says, "I will follow you." And Jesus says, "Right. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come and follow me." And he went away very sad, for he had great wealth. Wasn't willing to sacrifice everything to gain the greater treasure. Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it this way: when Christ calls a man to follow him, he bids him come and to die. Following Christ is expensive. It costs all that we are, all that we have. He demands that we surrender it all to him. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure worth leaving everything to gain. Worth leaving everything to gain. The years of following him have proved this true. Nothing I left behind as compared to the riches that I found. Then Jesus says, again, or it could be, on the other hand, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went out and sold all that he had and bought it. Two parables. Both have something very valuable involved. Both have somebody selling everything they've got to gain that something valuable. Two parables that mean the same thing, right? Not necessarily. In the first parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. What's the treasure doing? The treasure is not doing anything. The treasure is waiting to be found, waiting for somebody to come and sacrifice everything to gain it. In the second parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. The kingdom of heaven is actively looking. It's not the same thing at all. And finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, if I'm right, and this parable is saying that the kingdom of heaven finds something of such incredible value that it's willing to sacrifice everything to gain it, what is that something of such incredible value? You. His church. We were alienated from God. His enemies, by nature, children of wrath. And yet, he wanted us for his own. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That's how much he loved us. Paul put it this way in Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Prophet Isaiah put it this way, for as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Christ, willing to sacrifice everything to gain his church. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what he was willing to sacrifice to gain his treasure, us, his church. Two parables that sound the same at the beginning, but when you look at them, very different. Christ saying, I am worth it. Surrender everything to follow me and be mine. But then he turns, and he himself surrenders everything. His glory, his position, his dignity, his right to worship, that he might die and make us his spotless bride. My father used to tell me something that I didn't understand at the time. I understand it very much better now. He used to say, a wedding license will cost you $10 and the wages for the rest of your life. Wedding license is actually more like $60 or $75 now, but it's true. But it's a price worth giving up when you find a treasure like I found. And Christ looks on us as his church the same way, a treasure of incredible value. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. And they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever. Two parables that at a quick reading sound the same, but have very different meanings. One is a call to leave everything of earthly value and follow Christ and find the joy and the true riches that are to be found only in him. The second is that Christ, out of love for the people he created, came and left all his glory to purchase for himself his spotless bride, his church, his treasure. When Christ calls us to leave everything to follow him, he does not ask more of us than he was willing to do to give us, to gain us. He also gave up everything. The sacrifice is great. The reward, far greater. Let us then leave all for the sake of following Christ and delight in him who has given himself for us. Amen.